परतराम नान्यात् किंचन अस्ति धनंजयात्। मन्मना भव मद भक्तो मद यशीन्दम नमस्कुरु। इन द भगवद गीता कृष्ण सेज दैट द परफेक्शन ऑफ लाइफ is to always think of me, to always be conscious of our eternal relationship with the Supreme Godhead. And yoga means to make this connection in our life. And of course, in this world there are so many diversions, there are so many distractions, there are so many temptations which draw our mind away from its original, natural, spiritual condition. Or in other words, draw our mind away from Krishna, from God. Although Krishna is all attractive, the source of all pleasure, the source of all strength, the source of all beauty, the source of all opulence, how is it that our minds are continuously, birth after birth after birth, being distracted away from Krishna? Just like this evening we are speaking of Krishna, but I see that 90% of the room is talking or looking in other directions. We're thinking of other things. This is the greatest misfortune in our existence, that there's always some priority than keeping our mind on Krishna. We always have something more important that has to be done. There's always some urgent matter that has to be attended to. And at our convenience, when there's nothing else to do, nothing else to divert our mind, nothing else to divert our attention, at those rare moments, perhaps we will try to fix our mind on God. Perhaps we will attempt to fulfill the purpose of our life. Because after all, the purpose of life is to develop a purity of consciousness, not to simply accumulate so many articles in this world which are destined to be dragged away from us. We are so much enamored by the things of this world, but the more things we acquire, the more we fear they're taken away, and the more we need to maintain those things. And therefore, it is an endless cycle. It is the cycle of illusion. It is the cycle of ignorance. Therefore, Krishna is so kind that he appears in so many ways just to give us a chance to experience the supreme bliss, the supreme pleasure of eternal peace, eternal love, in keeping our consciousness in love and devotion, thinking of him. Krishna appears through his devotees to remind us again and again and again. And in the association of such devotees, our whole life can be directed toward truth rather than the mirages and the illusions of the world. Krishna appears in the form of his words. He has spoken the Bhagavad Gita. He is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Vedas and all the holy scriptures of the world are the word of God, which are like a beacon lamp giving us light in a world which is filled with the darkness of greed and exploitation. Krishna appears so readily available with the sweet, within the sweet and pure sound of his name. Krishna, Radha, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Such a benediction that at any time, in any place, anyone, be careful, Mataji, put Krishna over. You should never leave him near the end. In his divine sound of his name, we could at all times, anywhere, remember him and purify our consciousness, find refuge and shelter and love. We can clothing for him, we can bow down before him, we can behold his beauty, we can sing his glories, we can offer incense and aarti. All of our senses can be completely immersed in divine remembrance and loving service to the Lord through the beautiful murti that so kindly appears within our home. Now, some people may think that what is this? They are playing with these dolls, bathing dolls, putting garlands on dolls, grown men, and grown ladies. I am an intelligent person. I am a scientific person. I cannot identify with all of this. But actually, this is a less intelligent conception, because the worship of the deity is one of the highest, most sophisticated sciences in all of creation. And when we understand what we are doing, why we are doing it, how we are doing it, and what is taking place while we are doing it, we become struck with wonder, with what a fortune and what an opportunity we have to partake in this rare and wonderful activity in our own lives, in our own homes. Because Krishna says in the Gita, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, which means that he is the proprietor of everything that exists. And to recognize his proprietorship is the beginning of our spiritual life. That means Krishna is the proprietor of my body. Krishna is the proprietor of my family. And Krishna is the proprietor of my home. The perfection of life is simple. We do not have to go to the Himalayas and perform great austerities. We do not have to become sannyasis and renounce all of the association of family members. All we have to do is simply recognize and accept that Krishna is the proprietor of my home, my family, my very life, and to act accordingly. Is anything more simple than that? It is simple for the simple, and it is complicated for the complicated. So what we have here today is our Radharaman, Rakesh, and Jyoti. They are really setting the perfect ideal example for all humanity to follow. They are offering their home and their family as a sacrifice of love in the service of Radha and Krishna. And anyone can do it. And it is joyful to bring the devotees of the Lord to our home, to have wonderful ceremony of the Abhishek, to have beautiful singing of the holy names of the Lord, to discuss the glories of the Lord and the purpose of life. It is a joyful activity, full of life, full of excitement, full of pleasure. And when our children, when they see how we are caring so nicely for Radha and Krishna, they will naturally, just by seeing the form of the Lord and seeing our devotion to the Lord, they will naturally take to the path of bhakti. And that is the first and foremost responsibility of every parent, to guide their children on the path of devotion to God.
After all,
we can give them food, we can give them a house, we can give them clothing, we can give them protection. But factually, every animal in every species of life practically is giving their children the same things according to their needs. What differs a human civilized human being from the animal is that a human being can give their child an example in life by which they can find the inner peace, the inner love of devotion to Krishna, and give them the experience of eternal life full of bliss, full of knowledge. Krishna is everywhere. God is in and between every atom in all of creation. So someone may think, if he's everywhere, why do we have to worship him in the form of a deity? I could worship him anywhere and anything. But if he is everywhere and in everything, then he is also in the form of this beautiful Murti. But he reciprocates with our devotion. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati taraham bhakti pahritam ashnami prayatatmana. Therefore, the great scriptures and the great acharyas, the great saints throughout history, they have taught us this sublime process. When the spiritual master or his representatives come to our home and invite Krishna to appear within these forms, then that Lord who is within everything and everywhere, he especially and personally accepts our offerings in such a way that we can engage all of our senses and our mind in his loving service. And it's so simple, and it's so natural. Krishna is personally here. Sri Radharani is personally standing before us, glancing upon us, simply inviting us to offer us their love and reciprocating with their love, their supreme love. Yes, today is a very auspicious day because today this home and the lives of the residents of this home are offering themselves in dedication to the service of the Lord. Everyone in this household is a servant of God. Every mother has to clean the house. To clean your house is simply a karmic activity. But when you recognize that this is Krishna's house and you clean it for him, it is no longer an ordinary karmic activity. It is bhakti. It is devotion. It is the perfection of yoga to clean Krishna's house. When we decorate our house, everyone is very fond of trying to decorate their house according to their capacity. That consciousness is simply binding one to the complexities of our own karma. Save and accept that person who installs the murti of Krishna in their house and recognizes that whatever decoration is for his pleasure then that very decoration becomes an act of love, an act of devotion. We cook in our house. So many meals every day. It's happening in every house, everywhere. But that devotee who thinks, who feels that I am cooking for Krishna, I am his servant, I will offer it to Krishna, we will take the remnants. That very simple activity of cooking is the perfection of yoga. When we rise every morning, what do most people do? Probably they drink coffee, they read newspapers, they watch television, they run off to work. But when we recognize that this is Krishna's home, then first thing when we rise in the morning, after we bathe, we come before the beautiful, splendid forms of Radha and Krishna. We bow before them. We offer them arti. We wake them. We offer them food. We chant their holy names. We read their holy words. We begin each day in this way. It doesn't take long. But in this way, we begin every day by dedicating our lives and all things in relationship to our life in the service of the Lord. And then when we go to whatever work we perform in this world, for the pleasure of God, we do our work honestly, with as much nobility as possible. But we recognize within our hearts that we are doing it for the maintenance of the beautiful temple of God, my home. We're doing it to offer the fruits of our work for the pleasure of Krishna. Therefore, our entire employment becomes devotional service, becomes the perfection of yoga. And throughout the day, because we have so wonderfully absorbed our mind in the darshan of the Lord in the morning, throughout the day, imprinted within our minds, imprinted within our hearts, will be the beautiful divine form of Radha and Krishna and the sound of their holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. In this way, true religion, not ritualistic religion, but devotional offerings of sacrifice. What does sacrifice mean? Sacrifice means to make something sacred. Anything, when it is offered to God in devotion, it becomes sacred. Our mind, our life, all of our possessions become sacred when we offer them in humility and devotion to the beautiful forms of Radha and Krishna. People are very much opposed to dry, empty rituals. But what we see here today is not a dry, empty ritual. It is an offering of love. It is a dedication of our body, our mind, and our words, and all that we possess in the service of God. And therefore, living in a home with a family, appearing to be an ordinary man, if we learn this divine science of worshipping the deity properly, we are performing a yoga. We are performing a spiritual practice far superior even to those persons who are way up in the Himalayan mountains, living in caves, fasting, depriving their bodies of all necessities, and meditation. Because the Supreme Lord does not care for our fasting, does not care for our celibacy. He cares for one thing only, our love, our devotion. And therefore in the scriptures we read of great devotees, some of them kings, Maharaj Ambarish. He was the king of the whole world. But yet, within his palace he had a beautiful temple of Radha and Krishna. And all of his subjects, and all of his kingdom, he simply, as the servant of the Lord, engaged them all in the service of the Lord. Savai mana Krishna padara vindaye. And Maharaj Ambarish, although he had a big family, he had millions of subjects to maintain as the king. He had armies. He had so many ministers. Do you know how many responsibilities a king has? But he was the perfect yogi. Because everything he did in remembrance of the Lord. And all of his senses, his eyes, to see, to behold the beautiful form of the Lord. His nose to smell the sweet incense offered to the Lord. His tongue to taste the sweet prasad which has been offered to the Lord. His tongue also to vibrate the beautiful names and qualities of the Lord. His ears to hear the transcendental, charming vibration of Krishna's name and pastimes. His hands to make offerings, to clean the temple, to offer garlands, to cook. And his head to humbly bow at the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. And his mind to be completely immersed in the thoughts of the Lord's holy names and how to render more and more and more service for the pleasure of our beloved. In this way, Ambarish Maharaj set the example, the highest example, of how a man of this world can practically perfect his life, or a woman of this world can practically perfect her life through this divine scientific process of installing the deity of Krishna in the home and following the sublime principles by which we can please the Lord and offer our life as a act of love for his pleasure. It is so simple. A little guidance and a little sincerity is all that is required. And what is the simple and most sublime way of pleasing the Lord? By simply sitting together as we are today, beholding the beauty of Radha and Krishna and chanting their holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And through this process, we can be in this world but not of this world. Like a lotus flower that grows in sometimes a very polluted, muddy place. But because its roots are deeply set in the ground and is nourished from the ground, the lotus flower remains atop of that water, pure, translucent, and untouched. So similarly, although living and working in this world, which is full of chaos, full of dualities, full of uncertainties, if the roots of our mind simply remain fixed in Krishna and are nourished by the beautiful name and form of Krishna, then we can remain like that lotus, whatever our surroundings may present before us, we remain peaceful, we remain pure, we remain transcendental in divine love. And that is the perfection of life. And that is the opportunity that has been given by the grace of God and His devotees to all of us at all times. As we become attracted to the beauty of Krishna within our own home, all of the temptations, all of the diversions that this world tries to offer to complicate our lives with so many unwanted qualities, unwanted attachments, we become above, like the lotus. Krishna attracts our mind to the beauty of the spiritual realm of consciousness, which is within our own hearts. And that is what everyone is hankering for, what everyone is longing for since time immemorial. To taste the sweetness of Krishna's love and to distribute it to the starving people of this world. So, it is our humble request that everyone consider very seriously what really they want in life, what they really want to give to their children, to their loved ones. And try to understand and recognize the wonderful opportunity that is ours. How, in such a beautiful, enjoyable way, we can dedicate our homes and our lives at the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. That is what is taking place today. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions?
Not all the religions of this world describe about the form of the Lord. So, when we preach to people of different faiths and religions, how do we make them accept the form of the Lord?
We are not trying to make anyone do anything. But, to the degree that you have enthusiasm, love, and devotion, to that degree, your love and devotion will be contagious to influence other people's hearts. And we simply, with all humility, share the blessed gift that our Guru Maharaj has given us with whoever we meet. And if by their good fortune they are attracted, then we are very happy. And through the philosophy he has given us, if we can convince them to surrender to the will of God, that is a great service. But if someone is following another religion and they are opposed to the form of God, we should try to explain that yes, God is formless, but God also has form. It is a higher realization of the Lord. This is in the scripture. We can explain to them. But ultimately, we simply share the faith and the devotion that our Guru Maharaj has given us as a service to whoever we meet. And it is for them to accept or reject. Yes?
Why is that such an immense bonus given
because the Grihastha by nature is doing so much for his home. And unless there is a tangible way by which that Grihastha can recognize that his home is God's and the service in his home is for God, then he simply remains submerged in material consciousness. Therefore, it is a great necessity.
Manju says in your lecture that we should engage all the senses, every moment, in the service of Lord. Then how it is possible to do all the duties of society and of family?
I just explained it. Whose family is it? Yours or Krishna's? If you respect that it is Krishna's, you will raise your family according to Krishna's will. You will raise your family in such a way that they will become pure devotees of Krishna. You will clothe them, you will feed them, you will maintain their home in such a way that they can come closer to God. You'll maintain them better because you'll be motivated by love rather than just greed and attachment. You will maintain their bodies, their minds, and their souls. That is real love. Simply maintaining bodies is animal civilization. Maintaining the body, mind, and soul is the purpose of human life.
Since it is stressed that Grihastha should have deity worship at home, but there are also offenses to be avoided in deity worship, so what should be the standard of deity worship should be in?
First you should begin, then you should inquire about. These are technicalities. That is a different subject. The greatest offense is neglect. In the Grihastha ashram, it is not so strict. The basic four regulative principles: no illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling. We should not have those in our home. If we maintain that standard, and have a routine of chanting before the deity, whatever we cook, pure vegetarian food, we offer to the deities. In the Grihastha ashram, the deities, it is not strict. You don't have to worry so much about offenses. You should think more on the positive side. At the beginning. In your daughter's deities, what defenses do you tell her to avoid? Which ones? Huh? What?
Getting her used to the idea of deity worship is the meaning.
So in the Grihastha ashram, that's the first thing too. When Srila Prabhupada introduced deities to ISKCON, he gave a few rules and regulations, and he said, if I tell you everything, you will faint. But Krishna is merciful. We are not having formal installation like in a temple where there are very strict rules and regulations. In the home, we should simply follow these four regulative principles. We should chant before them. We should offer our food to them. And we should not be worrying about offenses. We should be thinking in terms of the positive opportunity we have to serve them. Krishna will forgive you very easily if you are sincere. No? Any other questions?
Usually it may be a practical problem in the many households in a city like Bombay where there are strong pressures about work timings and long distances to commute. So there's sometimes the trade-off between how much to do japa and how much to do mangalarti in the house and duty worship. So what kind of rough schedule would you recommend to
people? Depends who. If we are initiated devotees, that is another thing. It depends on what stage we're on. For someone just beginning Krishna consciousness, if they can chant 15 minutes of japa, even have 10-minute mangalarti, a few minutes to read the scripture, make an offering, half hour at beginning, anyone can spare a half hour for Krishna. And once you become adept at this regulation, gradually you make 1 hour, then 2 hours, whatever's practical. At the beginning, it is not a hard and fast rule. When we accept initiation, then there are hard and fast rules. But that comes after some time, after we learn to practice, after we become to an extent purified and regulated in our life. But the fact is, where there is a will, there's a way. If you understand the importance, you will make the time. Nothing is impossible if we understand the importance of something. When we don't understand the importance, we think there's no time. But if an emergency came in your life, you'd make time to do it. Right? This is an emergency. Our human life is getting less and less and less. It's time for Krishna. Now. So at the beginning, if we chant 15 minutes japa, if we make a small offering, if we do small arti puja, even half hour, total, reading a few lines of the scripture, bowing down, Krishna will be very pleased. And with that small half hour, every morning, your whole life will change, will be transformed. No doubt. Any other questions?
It is more important to finish, to complete 20 rounds, 2 hours. Chanting is important, and he should also have it installed and do 10-15 minutes or half an hour.
Can do both. You have made a vow to chant your rounds. That must be done. But you can make time. Arvind Muffatlal sits for 2 hours every morning before going to work. And is he any less competent a businessman than any of you? Huh? If you see the importance, you'll do it. Take rest a little earlier, get up a little earlier. No pain, no gain. If we're not willing to make a little sacrifice for our spiritual life, then that means we have no sincerity at all. No? Any other questions? Yes? Picture is also deity worship. The idea is to recognize the form of God as the proprietor of the house and to recognize that we are all his servants. And to have a tangible recognition by which we can engage our present senses in the service of. So I would like to thank all of you very much for coming this evening. And I think now it's time for Aarti. Where is Radha Raman? Oh, you wanted to hear the story of Radha Raman. His name is Radha Raman. I don't know if you know his name, but it's Radha Raman. That is his spiritual name. In Vrindavan, there was a great devotee of the name Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And the other Goswamis, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Bhat Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Jiva Goswami, they all had beautiful deities like this that they were worshipping in temples. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami decided that he also wanted to worship a form of the Lord. So he walked all the way from Vrindavan to Nepal. Way in the peaks of the Himalayas in Nepal, there is a river called the Kala Gandaki. And in that Gandaki River is to be found the only place in the world where the Shalagram Shila is born. Shalagram Shila, you have heard? It is a beautiful, shining black stone that is considered to be a deity of Lord Krishna, of Vishnu. And Brahmins, since time immemorial, have gone to the Kala Gandaki to obtain those beautiful Shalagram stones and worship them. So he brought many of them back to Vrindavan. And when he returned to Vrindavan, he was thinking that really the standard of worshipping the Shalagram Shila is very high, and I am a very fallen soul. He was so humble. He was thinking, I am not qualified. Why did I take them in the first place? So I should bring them back to the Gandaki River. So he walked all the way back, so many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles, back to the mountains of Nepal. And he went to put the Shalagram Shilas in the river, and as he placed them down, they just jumped back up into his hands. And then he placed it again, and it jumped in his hands. And he placed it a third time, and it jumped in his hands. And then he realized that maybe they want to go back to Vrindavan. They don't want to come back into this river. So he took them back to Vrindavan, and he was living very close to the river Jamuna. And under a little tree, he was living, and he was worshipping them. Now one day, a very wealthy man, I believe he was like a king, he came to Brajbhumi, Vrindavan, to give beautiful ornaments and jewelry and clothing to the various deities in the various temples. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami was feeling very sad because everyone had beautiful deities that could be decorated in so many ways with crowns and flutes and clothing. And he only had Krishna in the form of Shalagram. And he was thinking, Krishna, I want to offer you so many things, not for me, but for you. But it's so limited what I can offer you in this form. but please accept whatever I have. So that night, one of his Shalagram Shilas of the name Damodar grew. It just began to expand itself into a beautiful, beautiful form of Krishna. And when Gopal Bhatt Goswami, at the time, he was going to Jamuna to fetch some water. And when he returned, he saw that his Damodar Shila had turned into a beautiful form of Krishna, standing with three bends in his body, Tribhanga, playing upon a flute. And he was so struck with wonder and so ecstatic by this reciprocation of love that had manifest before his eyes that he called the other Goswamis. And when they came and saw this beautiful, beautiful effulgent form, which was none other than the original Shalagram, which was none other than the original Shalagram, which expanded. They were all so happy that they had a wonderful, wonderful festival to install the deity. And everyone brought garlands and everyone brought food, offerings of bhoga, and there was delightful kirtans of the holy name. And Srila Rupa Goswami, who was the leader of the Vaishnavas then, he said, because this has taken place near a place called Nidiban, which is the area of Vrindavan, where Radha and Krishna have divine pastimes, Raman, which means Krishna who gives pleasure to Radha. And to this very day, at that very spot, one of the most important temples in all of India is the temple of Radharaman. And the very Gopal Bhatt Goswami, he first worshipped the deity personally, then he trained very pure-hearted pujaris to continue the worship. And the Goswamis, or the descendants of those original pujaris, are still, to this very day, worshipping in the beautiful, beautiful temple of Radharaman. And any of you who go to Vrindavan, you will be very fortunate to enter this beautiful temple and behold the beautiful sight of Sri Radharamanji. And we have a picture of him just here. Shri Radha Ramanji ki. Our Guru Maharaj said that in all of Vrindavan, the nicest worship of all the 5,000 temples in Vrindavan, he said, the nicest worship of all the temples is the worship of Radha Raman. So you would like a name for these deities? I was saying before that I was considering naming the deities Radharaman, but then whenever his wife Jyoti would call Radharaman, the deities would be confused whether they are chanting their names or calling her their husband. So sometimes great storms come into our life. Sometimes very stormy times come into our life. And one time in Vrindavan there was a great storm, and Krishna protected all of the residents of Vrindavan by lifting up Govardhan Hill. And he protect them from the storms of the world. So in order for you, Sri Radharamanji and Jyoti to be protected from all the storms of life. We are now giving your deities the name Radha Giri Dhari.